culture to politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. What makes this nation so great? Our love of liberty. But it's true that liberty must constantly be defended against all kinds of threats. Yes, foreign threats and domestic threats, ideological threats, threats of all kind. But what about the conspiracies that threaten our liberty? Today is your day to expose the hidden hands, the dark forces that threaten the American way of life. It is Conspiracy Day on the Michael Medved Show. That means it is your day to howl. A full moon up there in the sky, and a beautiful full moon, a vivid full moon. Man, a great day for you to burn away all the clouds and the mist and the obfuscations and the secrets and the fog that obscure the realities of the dark forces that menace and control our world. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Look, it seems to me that if you drink too deep of this particular toxin called conspiracy theories, you end up basically harming your chances of success in the world, your chances of relationships, and you end up as more and more of a powerless loser. That's the whole idea of conspiracy theories. Remember, there's an old statement, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. People who believe in God, who believe in a benign creator of the universe, particularly those of us who believe that there is some kind of divine providential protection for the United States, you can look at even difficult times and say, well, there must be some purpose in it. And you can look toward challenges that you encounter and believe that they have some deeper purpose. Conspiracists do that in reverse. Conspiracists believe not that God's in his heaven and all's right with the world. They believe the conspiracy mongers are in their chambers of power and all's wrong with the world because they control everything and there's nothing we can do. Why is this a good thing, especially when so many of the big conspiracy theories have so little basis in reality? Let's go to Dan in Dallas.
Well, first-time caller, Michael, and a long-time listener here. You made a statement that conspiracy theories are very dangerous, and I guess my question is, I've kind of tried to avoid them for a long, long time. When does it change from dangerous, in other words, connecting the dots, giving information and connecting the dots is informing, and at some point, anyone could say that anything is a conspiracy theory, but I find that the enlightenment that I get from being able to put some reality to something that seems to just be completely out there, incomprehensible as how things could get so screwed up, is comforting. And in that, I guess I tend to start falling into those beliefs that conspiracy theories are there may be something to a lot of it. And so when do you know which is the reality?
Use common sense would be my. And let me mention to you, Dan, you're in Dallas, right?
That's correct.
The mother of all conspiracy theories, the modern conspiracy theories, the one involving Dallas on November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And the reason I say use common sense is for you to believe, or for anyone to believe, that there is some kind of massive conspiracy like Oliver Stone suggested in his movie involving the CIA and the FBI and the mafia and maybe the KGB and who knows what else and outer space aliens and all that to try to kill John Kennedy. You would have to believe that literally tens of thousands of Americans, including people who have devoted their whole life to service to their country, were complicit in this thing and deliberately covered it up. And that just seems to me to be, I mean, profoundly, I don't like Lyndon Johnson. I think Lyndon Johnson was a despicable person. But I don't feel that way about Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission. I think that Earl Warren was a terrible Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But I don't think that he was somebody who hated America and would have tried to cover up an assassination of the president. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
Well, of course I do, and I just want to add that common sense is exactly what I would expect the answer to be. But the point is when we dismiss conspiracy theories in whole, saying that they're dangerous or...
No, again, sometimes there are conspiracies. There was a conspiracy to kill Julius Caesar, but usually those conspiracies become public. They do. The communist conspiracy was a very public conspiracy. They had the Comintern. They had international meetings where they said, yes, our purpose is to subvert capitalism and to destroy it. Where I run into problems is where people say they're connecting sort of secret dots and there's one small group of people that's entirely in control. And also, if you believe, we had a caller yesterday, that all your political opponents, that all the Democrats in Capitol Hill, that all our Democratic presidents, since Woodrow Wilson, if you believe that they've all been part of some massive conspiracy to destroy the country, then you just don't know any liberals, do you? I mean, in other words, most people know people in their real life, in their personal life, members of the family or friends. And it's possible for people to be deeply, deeply wrong, but not engaged in a conspiracy to wreck everything.
It's Conspiracy Day on The Michael Medved Show.
Yes, there are real conspiracies in the real world. So how do you tell the difference between paranoid delusions and real conspiracies? I do think the application of common sense and answering a few questions. If you're talking about 19 thugs, hijackers, religious fanatics who are well funded by an international terrorist network conspiring to hijack planes and knock down buildings, yeah, it's a long shot, but they did it. And the evidence suggests that they did it and they managed to keep it a secret for a long time. If, however, you're talking about a secret group of people who, say, for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, have been secretly controlling all world events, and only a few haunted, delusional people seem to know that there is some kind of secret society that has kept things profoundly secret for hundreds and hundreds of years, and involved as dupes or participants all kinds of people we think of as heroes, like Dwight Eisenhower, then you know it's a silly conspiracy theory. That, by the way, is how you know that the John Birch Society, you'll pardon me, is silly and paranoid and not to be taken too seriously. Now, why do I say that? Robert Welch, the founder of the John Birch Society, attacked President Eisenhower, one of the greatest American presidents, in my opinion, and a huge hero to this country, both in the military and in the White House. Robert Welch attacked President Eisenhower as a conscious agent of the international communist conspiracy. You may disagree with some policy decisions of Eisenhower's, but to question his patriotism, to suggest that he's a secret communist, come on, common sense.
Best show on the radio.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, a conspiracy day from the vault, as your cultural crusader is out observing the holiday of Sukkot. If you want to revisit more conspiracy days from the past, or really any show that we've done over the past 5, 10 years even, become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com. It's about $6 a month when you sign up for a full year. And it's a great way to support the show and also listen to current programs commercial-free, as well as access to all of Michael's commentaries, 2 separate podcasts, and the program's history. Sign up at michaelmedved.com, become a Medhead today. Thanks so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of this conspiracy day with a full moon up there in the sky.
Let's go to Ian in Los Angeles. Ian, you're on the Medved Show. It's Conspiracy Day.
I had a concern with, you know, something he said. He said that believing in these conspiracies was, you know, very detrimental to your mental health, and, you know, it attracts, you know, lunatics. And
I'm not so much saying it attracts lunatics. In other words, one of the things that they say in psychology is that the fact that something's correlated doesn't mean that it's cause and effect. In other words, I'm not saying that either conspiracies attract lunatics or that they make people lunatics. It's just that lunatics and conspiracy theories do seem to go together a lot. But go ahead.
It was a little painful to hear you say that, because I actually believe in a conspiracy theory, and you know, I have such great respect for you.
Which one do you take seriously?
It's not very well known. It's the fact that there's processed sugar in pretty much every single food that you can buy at, you know, a supermarket. And my conspiracy was simply that, you know, in like the 50s or so, that corporations, you know, actually understood that processed sugar was addictive, and they purposely started putting it in foods. And, you know, I've actually run with this, and kind of as a side business, I'm a nutritionist, and I try and steer people away from, you know, eating processed, you know, sugars that, you know, they'll kick their food addiction and end up, you know, losing a lot of weight. And I mean,
I don't think your analysis is right, but I don't think it's ridiculous. Okay. In other words, would a corporation trying to make a profit deliberately put something in food that would get people to buy more of that product? Of course. That's not ridiculous. That makes sense.
All right. Well, yeah, of course. And that's what I thought. And so when I heard you say that, it kind of, it made me worry about myself, and I'm like, you know,
Ian, thank you very much, and thank you for taking this show so seriously. I do, too. If you believed that the corporations were putting the sugar into food to make a profit, I'm with you. If you believe they're putting sugar into food in order to weaken the mental processes of the American people and to make them dupes for international bankers or some kind of conspiratorial group, then I'm not with you. Do you understand the distinction?
I completely thought it was for a profit, you know, and I don't think it's for any evil purposes. I thought it was just for an amoral purpose.
Well, that's exactly right. And the pursuit of profit, I would even say, if you pursue it honestly, is not amoral, it's moral. But we'll be right back on Conspiracy Day.
Truth is here, The Michael Medved Show.
Let's go to Chris in Philadelphia. Chris, you're on The Medved Show.
I emphatically believe in the JFA conspiracy, and when you
which one? The problem is there are about nine major theories.
I don't believe the Oliver Stone. I've researched it pretty extensively.
Okay, so tell me, who killed him?
The connection to the Diem assassination and the South Vietnamese heroin connection to the mafia was clearly pointed out in the book Triangle of Death. And
Hold on. Let's just back up for a moment. Before Kennedy was killed, he had ordered the assassination of President Diem in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Very controversial decision. Probably,
right.
I think in retrospect, the wrong decision, but Kennedy did it. So you believe that South Vietnamese drug runners then hired the mafia to kill Kennedy?
Well, it's pointed out in the book, and I don't want to really go into depth. I mean, I always get the impression that you just refuse to read some of these, at least updated books.
No, because the most updated and comprehensive book is not Gerald Posner, Case Closed. It's Reclaiming History, which is 5,000 pages. I have not read every page, but I've read most of it.
I try to, and I put it down but specifically, since you're going to Dallas, and invariably it will come up, can you interview this guy, Paul Chambers, put out this new...
No. Do you know Mark Lane, who started the whole thing? You know who he was, right? He wrote Rush to Judgment. You know he's a commie, right? I mean, he was a big leftist with ties, some very unsavory ties, not to talk about conspiracy theories. And he was making money on this stuff. And virtually everybody who's peddled some of the conspiracist nonsense about JFK has been making money on it. And it's one of my problems with conspiracy theories. What do you believe that, I don't know, that Earl Warren and Lyndon Johnson and Gerald Ford and J. Edgar Hoover and everybody else. Everybody else was in on this and deliberately covering up why Kennedy was killed.
I don't like the way you back me into a corner by answering that question, but I believe in the conspiracy. And
was it a big conspiracy? Did top governmental officials know about it?
Basically, yes. For instance, and not to go off on a tangent, I know I don't have much time to speak, but Gerald Posner wrote a book about Mengele, and he pointed out at the end of the book that there was a conspiracy of science to keep Mengele from being arrested. There were 14 different people who had nothing in it for themselves, and they could have probably
But that's a very different thing when you talk about people in the intelligence community.
People do shut up, you know, and there are powerful people that can make people shut up.
Do you realize how much fame, notoriety, money someone would achieve if he really did out the real killer of Kennedy? I mean, Jim Garrison tried. Look, it got him famous, right? And the point about this is the most discussed, the most researched crime in all of American history. You'll agree with me on that.
Yes.
The evidence for things like a second shooter and for the grassy knoll, and I mean, they've looked at this scientifically. The NOVA report, which came out before the exhaustive piece of research by the veteran prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi. Look, I don't agree with Bugliosi on most stuff, but I mean, I think he's right about this. It's really an illness in the United States of America that we don't understand. Most assassinations happen because of people like Loeffner and Oswald. Let's go to Joe in Spring, Texas. You're on the Michael Medved Show, Conspiracy Day.
The 9/11 conspiracy with the airplane hitting the Pentagon. You know, I've seen the stuff on the Internet and the, you know, where's the plane conspiracy and all this stuff. I haven't liked the answer that the government has given us about what happened to the plane that supposedly hit the Pentagon. And I find it very hard to believe that there's no pictures of it. You know, the news released that little half a second clip of something hitting the building, and it sure didn't look like a plane to me. Just want your take on it. And if there is any pictures or anything out there that can absolutely prove that a plane hit the Pentagon, I would love to see it.
Well, let me give you a little hint, Joe, on they've recovered and identified about 30 bodies from the plane, and they match with the DNA records of the people who were on board that aircraft. That's pretty strong evidence, don't you think?
Well, because they have a body doesn't mean that's where they got it from. And
no, sure it does. If you have, I mean, point do you think they came down in a with a reindeer sleigh and distributed little body parts on the Pentagon lawn? After the thing hit?
It could have been the tooth fairy, but that's beside the point.
Isn't beside the point. There are people, by the way, they did recapture almost the entire tail section of the plane, and you can see pictures of it. This is like a lot of the other conspiracy theories about September 11th, is that they will feed you wrong information, like nobody ever saw the plane and there are no other pictures of it. There were literally hundreds of people who saw the plane and testified about seeing the plane. They have radar showing the plane coming in, and they have photographs of the wreckage of the plane. I mean, there are people we've had people on this show who have called in who were personally involved and actually picked up some of this debris. So, yeah, I don't think there's too much doubt about that one. I appreciate your call very much. David in Dallas, you're on the Medved Show Conspiracy Day.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, in the 1100 B.C., in the 1100s, the Catholic archives have historical recorded fact. They had a seer named Malachi that predicted that there would be a total of 112 popes, and that 112th would be an evil pope. He would be the last pope and an evil pope. Well, the current pope, Benedict, is number 111. He further substantiated this back in the 1100s when he saw this vision, apparently, that the 111th pope would have something to be connected with the olive. And the Catholic Church knew of this prophecy, and they picked but Ratzinger, because they knew that he had nothing to do with any kind of an olive or anything like that surrounding his
Well, who has to do with olives?
Okay, the seer said that the 111th Pope would have something to do with some kind of symbol of the olive.
Okay, stay with me. Let's find out who has to do with the olive other than Popeye's girlfriend, olive oil. We'll be right back on Conspiracy Day.
The Michael Medved Show.
Don in Scottsdale, Arizona. You're on the Medved Show. It's Conspiracy Day.
Hi. I would like to bring up the conspiracy that the Christian church has covered up the fact that some of its greatest men, some of its greatest evangelists, have been in favor of polygamy. And in fact, items such as John and Charles Wesley's sister was married to the polygamist Wesley Hall.
Is that true? I don't know. I know the Wesley brothers, the founders of Methodism, but I knew nothing about their sister. And you're saying she was married to a publicly advertised polygamist?
Yes, and in fact, he was a minister of the church. He was one of the people who founded the Holy Club, along with, I know you're very familiar with Whitefield.
Sure. George Whitefield was one of the greatest evangelists ever.
Yeah, and I've heard you speak about him. Martin Madden, who knew the Wesleys, don't confuse Wesley Hall with John or Charles Wesley, but he was their brother-in-law.
Okay, wait. Don, are you in favor of polygamy?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And do you think that there has been a conspiracy to suppress elements of the Christian church that have been more tolerant of polygamy? Is that what you're saying? When did this anti-polygamous conspiracy, in your opinion, begin, Don? Where do you think it originated?
As far as the modern era, it really took force strongest when a dialogue on polygamy was written by Bernardino Occhino. I have republished that. And he was, on December 2, 1563, exiled from Germany for publishing it. His children died of the plague as a result, and he died a year later because of the harsh elements. This was just after Luther and the other reformers had begun reforming the church, and many changes had occurred. Occhino was very famous. He was the most famous Italian preacher in the world. He was actually
What's the point? I'm still asking you when.
Oh, why? Before we broke, you said, why would they do that?
Right.
Now, I can tell you why the 1800s, why they really started to want to block this out, was, first of all, they saw what had happened to a later man who had been in favor of polygamy.
Let's not go through the history of persecution of polygamists. What's the point? Let's cut to the chase if we can.
The point is that the conspiracy occurs because people within the Christian church are afraid of losing their position because they've seen what has happened to meteoric men of the past when they have taken the position in favor of polygamy. So Martin Madden founded he's the father of the evangelical hymnal, but nobody knows that because he was written out of history. He is the one who founded hospitals for the treatment of venereal disease. If you look Locke Hospital in the dictionary, you'll find out that a Locke Hospital...
Okay, how did you come to become an advocate of polygamy? Do you live in a polygamous relationship?
No. What happened was all men at one point or another have a curiosity of it, so they do a little bit of research, and mine simply took me all of a sudden to the Wesleys and this man, Martin Madden.
Okay.
And I've actually sent you my book, which is Prince of Sumba, Husband of Many Wives, and it documents this in two chapters in great detail.
Okay, I'm sure that we will find it. Don, thank you very much for your call. It is Conspiracy Day. Bill, Minneapolis, you're on the Michael Medved Show. It's Conspiracy Day.
Hi, Mike. As always, thanks for having the show. I look forward to it every month.
Thank you.
Missed it, state fair. Anyways, I just was a little upset. I heard that last statement that Masons have no dark. I mean, here you're a spiritual guy. You're pretty committed to your faith. I'm to mine as well.
And I'm not a Mason.
Exactly.
But
it's, you might completely disagree with their faith, which is that man, well, whatever. The point is that they
don't have a faith. There are Masons who are members of virtually every religion. I know there has been a historic dispute between the Masons and the Catholic Church. However, I know religious Catholics who are Masons, and I know religious Jews who are Masons. I know religious Protestants who are Masons. What is your concern about Masons?
All
do you know any Masons?
You mentioned that book that it made it sound like just a good old boys club, but you know, and to most of them it is. I'm sure to some of them, though, it's a little darker and deeper. And, you know, Albert Pike had that famous quote from the book Morals and Dogma, and I am reading here that the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry is a separate and totally distinct organization having no control over Freemasonry. But he certainly is embedded in the history of Freemasonry, and he definitely refers in his book, Morals and Dogma, says, Lucifer, the son of the morning, it is he who bears a light, and with its splendors, intolerable, blinds feeble, sensual, and selfish souls, doubt it not. Anyways, so, and Manly Hall has some, it just seems to me that Lucifer is at maybe very involved with that eye on top of the pyramid, which is clearly one of their big symbols.
You know what's interesting about this? Are you happen to be a Catholic?
I'm definitely Christian.
Okay, if you're a Christian, I'm looking at page 166 of the book, The Masonic Myth, and they say, while the eye in the triangle, often called the eye of providence, is frequently considered a Masonic symbol, it is also found in other contexts, such as the reverse of the Great Seal of the United States and this Roman Catholic holy card from Italy. Symbols such as this are often shared and used by a variety of groups, and I'm looking at the Catholic holy card, which shows the same eye. So,
Mike, I would always hope that me and you share one thing, and that since you're committed to your, it's your, what is it?
Faith.
Your faith,
yeah.
Which is the first four books of the Bible, right?
No, it's all of the Hebrew Scriptures, all of the Old Testament. That's what Jews believe.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, a conspiracy day from the vault, as your cultural crusader is out observing the holiday of Sukkot. If you want to revisit more conspiracy days from the past, or really any show that we've done over the past 5-10 years even, become a Medhead at michaelmedved.com. It's about $6 a month, and it's a great way to support the show and also listen to current programs commercial-free. Sign up at michaelmedved.com, become a Medhead today. Thanks so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of this conspiracy day with a full moon up there in the sky. Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Jodie Comer plays a daredevil avatar in a video game who wants to enlist a supporting character, Ryan Reynolds, in a desperate effort to save their fantasy world in Free Guy, now playing in theaters everywhere.
This world, it's a video game. We need you to be the good guy.
I'm not going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the great guy.
And this turns out to be an unexpectedly great movie. Full of clever twists and inside jokes, the special effects are spectacular, bringing to life this parallel universe controlled by game players in the real world, where the goofy, good-natured free guy insists on taking an independent role. Rated PG-13 for scenes of danger and destruction, and too complicated for small children to follow, Free Guy is nonetheless enchanting entertainment that can reach even those of us who don't much care about video games. 3.5 stars for the surprising and satisfying Free Guy. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. A study at England's University of Sussex warns those who snack while watching television or playing video games are more likely to overeat, greatly increasing risks of obesity. You're less likely to be able to tell how full you feel, Professor Martin Yeomans explained. You're more likely to keep snacking. This is important for anyone wanting to stay a healthy weight. Well, the conclusions of the study might seem obvious, but still convey an important message about the hours we lavish on screens, including our obsession with social media. Few people feel satisfied after just a few minutes of screen time. Social and entertainment media are deliberately designed to encourage you to keep watching, to keep clicking, to always yearn for more. Nothing in our screen engagement promotes feelings of contentment or fullness. Perpetual hunger characterizes most addictions, including our often thoughtless indulgence in all forms of media diversion. I'm Michael Medved.
Michael, thank you so much for taking my call. I think you are the absolute best at what you do.
The Michael Medved Show.
Today is Conspiracy Day on the Michael Medved Show, with a full moon gleaming up there in the beautiful sky. It's your day to expose the shadows that sometimes obscure the forces that truly dominate and manipulate our lives. 1-800-955-1776. Greg in Philadelphia, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Mr. Medved. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
Listen, in the spirit of the World Series, obviously I'm a Phillies fan. I have a theory on a baseball conspiracy that relates to racial politics.
Yeah.
I noticed that during games, you know, during most baseball games, they'll have like a trivia question, like, you know, stump the fans, or even in the talk of great hitters in the past, that you never hear anything about Ty Cobb. And this is a player who had more hits than anybody up until
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose broke his record in the 80s. And I think that the reason why Ty Cobb's achievements have been marginalized in the national sports media is because that it's a well-known fact that he was a staunch racist.
Oh, he was a horrible person. He was not just a racist. He was famous for sharpening his spikes and spiking people when he would slide into second base. And he had a horrible marital history. He was a drunk. He was a misery. And he you know how he made his money, the Georgia Peach, Tyrus Raymond Cobb?
How was that?
He invested very early in an Atlanta company, because he was from Georgia, called Coca-Cola. He got a lot of early stock, and because at the time you hardly made any money on base. You know what? I think, again, I hate to be so agreeable today, but I think you're right. I mean, I think that I remember when I was a little kid, one of the things that I read this lengthy essay, which I loved, called "Who Was the Greatest Hitter, Ty Cobb or Babe Ruth?" And you're right, Ty Cobb has become sort of the forgotten man when you actually look at how extraordinary his achievements were. Do you know how many World Series Ty Cobb played in?
I do not, sir.
Zero.
It's true.
But anyway, I think that might also help to explain one of the reasons he's not asked about. But no, a racist, a mean, despicable guy. Apparently the people, his teammates, hated him. So he was a tough guy to sort of use as a smiley face of America's great national game, despite his excellence on the field. Appreciate your call, Greg. Andrew in Burleson, Texas, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. This is the first time I've ever called, actually. I'm a 20-year-old student from Burleson.
Well, thank you for calling.
I listen to your show all the time. I've tried to call a bunch of times. But anyways, lately I've been reading this book called Encyclopedia of Conspiracies. And in the book there's something about this. There's been, I think, 10 top scientists of the world being kidnapped. And
I don't know about this. Tell me about it.
Yeah, they've been... From what I've read, it says they've been kidnapped, and they'd find them dead, pretty much, over a few months or years. And then there's conspiracies about that they're creating some kind of biological weapon, and no one knows what's going on with that.
Do you know the names of any of these scientists?
Oh, not off the top of my head. I just left the book at my dad's, and I was going to bring it with me, but... I don't know
anything about this. I mean, I know that there was a guy who taught psychology, and that's not really a science. Sorry, Diane. There's a guy who taught psychology at Harvard named John Mack, who had come to believe in alien abduction and UFOs. And he did die under mysterious circumstances. He was run down by a car, a hit-and-run driver. They never found the... And we were just in the process of trying to book him for our show for a conspiracy day, and he... bought the farm. And I'm sorry that Professor Mack died. But do I know anything about kidnapped scientists? No, I'm afraid that I don't. Andrew, appreciate your call. If you find anything, send it to me. Mike, Chicago, you're on the Michael Medved Show Conspiracy Day.
Hi, Mike. I'm glad to call. I want to propose the conspiracy that the government is using swine flu to get rid of people over 50, which will lower the cost of the health care program.
Yeah, except here's the problem. Apparently, we are not at risk. I mean, those of us who are over 50, the people who are at risk seem to be younger. They seem to be particularly people in their teens and 20s. So what do you say about that? Why would the government want to get rid of those people?
Well, I'm not saying that they made swine flu. They're using it. And the reason I say that is because there are no vaccines for people over 50.
Yeah, but the reason is because it's not so dangerous for people over 50.
It's not undangerous. It just isn't as dangerous.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's kind of undangerous compared to just as with normal flu. Spike in Tampa, Florida. You're on the MedVet Show Conspiracy Day.
Hey, I wonder if you remember back, I think it was like 1980, the first Pope, John Paul. He was only Pope for like 30 days, and then he died.
Correct.
And what do you think of the idea that he was murdered?
I know that there are a lot of people who have investigated that and looked at it, but why? Why would he be murdered? In other words, given the fact that he had just been chosen Pope, there's no real indication. I mean, I know part of the theory is that he was planning to take the church in a more liberal direction, but there's really not much indication that that's true.
Well, there are indications that he was very interested in cleaning up the Vatican Bank, and at the time, we didn't know the extent of the corruption of the Vatican Bank that we knew later. I think it was even in The Godfather 3, he had a prominent role in that movie. And it's just funny that the circumstances of his death really do remind me of the same kind of murky issues that were there with Marilyn Monroe's death. No autopsy, cleaned up the scene. So you don't believe it, huh?
Well, I think it's tough, and I'll tell you why. Here's another reason that I think it's tough to put together. Who do they choose to replace Pope John Paul I? They chose Karol Wojtyla, the future John Paul the Great. Now, you know something about the late, great Pope John Paul II, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is he the kind of guy who would go along with a cover-up on something like this? He was such a breath of fresh air in terms of the whole image of the Vatican. He's a younger guy. And he was a first non-Italian pope in a very long time. And he came from Krakow, and he had stood up to the communists. And he was just a remarkable guy. I mean, if you're trying to put someone in there who is going to go along with corruption, I think they picked the wrong guy by picking John Paul the Great, wouldn't you think? And so that's why if you have a conspiracy inside the Vatican – and it's to get rid of the first John Paul, and you're going to bring in a guy who's even more likely to expose wrongdoing if he comes upon it. That's one of the reasons I have a tough time with that particular conspiracy theory. Appreciate the call, Spike. Greg in Chicago. Greg, you're on the Michael Medved Show on Conspiracy Day.
Yeah, Michael, I know that Yahoo and Google have these programmers who write code in order to try to pick up on what is spam coming into your email account.
Uh-huh.
And numerous times I have had to go in and tell the program that emails I get from conservative organizations are not spam. But no matter how many times I do that, the more of these conservative organization emails I get, like from Americans for Prosperity and other ones, it always sends them to the spam folders. And I think that the programmers at Yahoo and Google are trying to keep conservative Americans from getting the communications that are sent to them by these organizations.
That's interesting. I mean, I would imagine that that is not inconceivable. All I know is that I wish that some of the conservative emails that I do receive were blocked. There are some, I get too many. But I think that it's possible that, that occurs at some point? I do. I think you've hit what could be a real and devastating conspiracy in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
We hope you're enjoying this special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, a conspiracy day from the vault. Lots more entertaining, enlightening, and illuminating calls coming up in the next few hours. Thanks for hanging around. Michael is out today. Your cultural crusader is observing the holiday of Sukkot. He will be back real soon, so no need to worry. But enjoy the rest of the show today, and thanks so much for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.